It was sweltering, and the cover of the canopy wasn't enough to beat the oppressive heat. Thankfully, I was almost to the swimming hole and waterfall where I had hoped to spend a good portion of the afternoon. I quickly kicked off my shoes and entered the cool water, sidestepping submerged branches and the large rocks jutting out from the sand. The water was nice and cool, even though the pool itself was large enough to be fully exposed to the midday sun, and I swam slowly towards the waterfall's gentle trickle. And that's when I spotted the cave behind the waterfall. It seemed large enough for a person to easily walk into, and judging from how dark it was, it must have been incredibly deep. I swam over to the edge of it, shouted,
"Hello, hello, hello,"
and heard my voice echo back. I decided venturing solo into a strange cave was probably asking for danger, so I slowly swam back towards the middle of the pool when I heard a big splash behind me. I turned and saw a giant serpent gliding through the water towards me. I shouted to everyone else at the pool to get out of the water, and I immediately turned and started swimming as fast as I could towards shore. Something grabbed my ankle and I kicked, but the grip was strong and I could feel myself being dragged back underwater. I tried to process who was grabbing my leg and why it didn't feel like a snake biting me when suddenly the hand released me and I kicked up hard, finally breaking the surface and gasping for air. And above me, with gigantic flapping wings, was a man with four arms and huge golden wings hovering over the water. The man had a beak for a mouth, and in one of his bird-like talons was a severed arm that was covered in scales. I looked up in utter shock, and the birdman said,
"My name is Rick Kitagawa, and this is the Inner Monster Podcast."
The Garuda is a mythical bird that's actually found in multiple cultures' mythologies, spanning much of Asia and multiple religions, including Hinduism, Buddhism, and Jainism. The Garuda also plays a major role in various countries' national symbology, used in association with India's military, Cambodia's sculptures found around temples and elite homes, and as the national symbol for both Indonesia and Thailand. And the version of the Garuda I want to focus on is the one in Hinduism, where the Garuda is an eagle-like sunbird. And it also seems to have multiple forms, one of a humanoid form where he has a green body and two or four arms, a human face with a bird's beak, and a bird form where he's just some kind of big old gigantic eagle-like bird. And there are actually other descriptions depending on various different texts, but in the mythology, generally the Garuda is hatched from an egg and ends up being super crazy powerful. And it also is the natural enemy of the Naga, a race of snake people who I alluded to in the story. In order to save his mother from slavery from the Naga, the Garuda wages war with the gods in heaven to steal some heavenly nectar. And after managing to get the heavenly juju, Vishnu, one of the big three Hindu gods, which is the one that fights injustice, appears and basically strikes a deal so that the nectar isn't given to the snake people, as per their demands, but Vishnu will help form a plan to save Garuda's mom. And the two handle their business, slay a bunch of snake folk, and Garuda is now cool to support Vishnu and acts as his flying bird ride and ferries the justice god around. And this idea that a heavenly badass like Garuda might act as someone else's ride gets to the honor behind playing the support role. And it is this idea of the support role that I want to dig into today. I think a really underlooked role someone can play in any team or organization is that of the support. Whether they're the technology backbone of your organization, or the logistics coordinator, or the person who makes sure the trash cans are empty every morning, the people who provide support are crucial. Interestingly enough, this often extends to team-based video games as well, where the support role is often derided, no one wants to do it. However, it is incredibly important and often can be the difference between a win and a loss. Back when I played World of Warcraft more than a decade ago, which is kind of crazy to think that it's been over a decade, I remember that when you're looking for other people to party with for the raids, which are difficult areas that you need a large group with diverse specific character roles, if you are a healer, you could easily find a party whenever, because so few people played support characters, even though every party needed one. Same goes for League of Legends or Overwatch. Support players are crucial, but it's also hard to find skilled players who want to play these roles. And why is that? Well, I think the answer to this question of why supports in video games is a crucial role that few people want lies especially in thinking about how this metaphor extends to society in general. You probably remember the doctor's name who saved your life, but do you remember the nurses or the MRI tech? You probably remember your favorite athlete's name, but do you know their managers? Or the administrative assistant of the owner? Or the name of anyone responsible for maintenance on their home, field, or court, or rink? And of course not, because they're not famous. They're all crucial to the overall experience. I mean, think of an NBA superstar trying to practice on a basketball court that has chips in the floor and is slippery with dust. I mean, they'd still probably be pretty good, but not nearly as good as someone equally as skilled in a world-class facility. And my point is that there are a lot of people that create the conditions for those in the limelight to shine, and these people are incredibly important, but often remain in the shadows, working their craft before anyone ever sees the final product. So, we live in a society where we follow those in the spotlight, which makes sense, as we can't be fans of people we don't know about, but a majority of the work is done behind the scenes. And especially for those who seek attention and want to be followed, there is a pull towards being what most of us stereotypically think of as a leader, someone charismatic, extroverted, and confident. But I like to define leadership as helping other people empower themselves to become leaders themselves in order to enroll yet others in the change one is seeking to make in the world. Meaning that you can definitely be in the spotlight, and you can be charismatic, extroverted, and confident, but the thing that makes you a leader isn't those characteristics, but the ability to help create other leaders. And tying this back to being a support, if you are helping others be their best selves and do their best work, you are a leader. So, given this definition, you really can lead from any chair, any role, any position. Whether or not you're the person out in the lead wearing the special hat, or waving the flag, leading the charge, you have the ability to change culture and help others. And we often call people in these roles informal leaders, in that they might not have an official title or something fancy like that, but are making a difference just the same. But I would like to reframe that from informal leader to just leader. And that term is different from being a boss or a manager or an executive or a director because it talks about the impact you make and how you show up, not the title that goes on your business card. So I think that the support role is so crucial and is a key posture for any leader to adopt. And of course, some job roles make being a support easier than others. Managers, project coordinators, event planners, they all lend themselves to support roles, as well as accountants, the entire maintenance department, analysts, and administrative assistants. However, the mistake leaders often make is forgetting to play the support role if they are not in one of these roles that more obviously lends itself to supporting others. So whether you're in the C-suite or in the sales department or a Hollywood actor, you can still take on the posture of support. Perhaps less obviously, but I think that gets to the whole point of playing the support role. it's not supposed to be obvious. Taking up the posture of being the support is often highly overlooked because when you're good at your job, no one notices. It's only when you make a mistake is your contribution understood, but because of humans' biological wiring to focus and remember mistakes, as opposed to literally every single time that things went right and unnoticed, it can feel like a thankless job. And this is the most accurate idea of what a support in a video game feels like. If they're doing their job incredibly well, you literally don't need to think about it, and you can focus on your role. But when they're not doing their job, well, they end up being the first to be blamed. And so, no wonder so many few people like playing support. But taking up this role of support is so key to the health of projects and organizations. Without leaders in this role, things fall apart. You could be the greatest visionary the world has ever seen, but without the people making things happen, your brilliance doesn't matter. Without people maintaining your server, your amazing software product doesn't work. Without the vast infrastructure that brings food from the farm to the grocery store, let alone your gourmet meal plan delivery service, you would starve. Without the people rolling out new carpet, cleaning the floors, mopping the lobby, and taking out the trash, you'd think your modern office was a dystopian wasteland. So this is a reminder to remember to make sure you recognize everyone who plays the support postures in your life, and be kind to them. You are never too important to be kind to people, and just because it's not flashy or noticeable, doesn't mean it isn't vital work. So what can we do about transforming the culture around leaders who choose to support others? I think for one, if you are in a position where you determine salaries, consider paying people more, especially if they're great at their job. I think we often think about the impact people make when thinking about salaries for knowledge workers and managers, but when it comes to people on the front line actually executing or working behind the scenes, we don't think about the impact and instead think about how easily people's roles are replaced. And I want to emphasize roles because I guarantee you that there are different levels of skills regarding sales associates or meeting coordinators and administrative assistants, and good ones are not easily replaceable. But if you're not in a position to change salaries or make those types of decisions, consider how you can honor and support those that support you and the work that you do. As I said earlier, we have a tendency to remember mistakes, so the 99% of the time when things are going smoothly, we just completely erase from our memory. So it makes sense that we have to put conscious effort into recognizing and celebrating the work that others are doing, sometimes behind the scenes, that contribute to the value that you're creating as a whole. So whether that's getting to know them as valuable members of your organization, or simply saying thank you to everyone and acknowledging their contribution verbally and as publicly as you can make their job less unseen and more acknowledged for the vital part it plays. So, whether or not you're playing a support role, remember how important it is and how key it is to support those that do decide to take that role on. And keep in mind that you too can be a supportive leader no matter what your formal role is. So I hope you'll join me next week for a continuation of this episode as I'll dive into more ways that everyone can show up as a leader. Hope to see you then. That's it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening to the Inner Monster podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to check out all of our other episodes wherever you get your podcasts or visit innermonsterpodcast.com. And if you feel so inclined, please spread the word and share this with a friend, or leave a review, or subscribe to get the podcast each week, every Inner Monster Monday. And now, a quick word from our sponsors. If you want to hear Inner Monster podcast episodes before anyone else, consider joining my Patreon at patreon.com/rickkitagawa, where you can get ad-free episodes, discounts on creepy art, and even coaching packages. That's patreon.com/rickkitagawa. I hope to see you there. Thank you so much, and I hope you have a monstrous day.